Hey, good morning, everybody. It's really good to be here. My name is Dave Jones. I work for River Church for 4 days a week, which is an absolute privilege. I'm on the central leadership team, and I oversee the youth work in the church. And it's my absolute pleasure to be here extending the kingdom of God this morning as we worship. I was just thinking when we worship how like central to the government of heaven is 24/7, 365 days a week, for eternity, just worship around the throne, the angels singing, holy, holy, holy. And they don't do it because they have to. They do it because the Lord just reveals himself again and again. And it's just, it's out of a response of love. It's just like, whoa, oh, you're so holy. Whoa, you're so holy. Whoa, you're so holy. And like Jesus says, like that our mandate as like his body, his bride, his house, his believers, his temple, like is basically to bring heaven to earth. And so part of that is like what God wants to see is worship established on the face of the earth, on earth as it is in heaven. So in heaven, there's worship. And so just as we worship, it's like that standard of heaven is just, it's here. And that's what God wants to see across the nation and across the nations, is just worshiping communities, just covering the face of the earth on earth as it is in heaven. That's a cool way to think of worship, isn't it? That's just what I was thinking this morning. I was just like, wow. You know, this is just, and it's not just like us just loving on God and him loving in us. It's actually part of something bigger. That's cool. Everybody say, good word. So, shall we pray? Jesus, I thank you for me. Thank you that I'm amazing. I thank you that we're all amazing. Because we're made in your image, Jesus. You said that we're fearfully and wonderfully made. It gives no credit to you, God, as our painter, that we are your masterpiece. It gives no credit to you to say that we're worthless or not much good. So thank you that we're amazing, Father. And Lord, we just give you this the rest of this meeting. And we just ask that you just speak to us. You change us. You melt us. You set us ablaze with passion for you, Jesus. Amen. All right, let's turn to... by the way, I did a PowerPoint. Yeah? Thank you. Firstly, I'd just like to apologize. Helen did actually give me a topic to speak on a while ago. But then last week when I was thinking about preparing, Helen and Pete were on holiday and I completely forgotten that she'd give me a topic. And so... I then prepared something which isn't part of your series in John. Hopefully some bits will be from John. Walking on water. That's what I was supposed to talk about. So go and try it, okay? I honestly have tried walking on water myself and failed. But I actually do want to do it one day. I got a wet shoe. So this morning I'd like to talk about love. Again, I just love talking about love at the moment. It's because God is love, I guess, and I love God. He loves me, and yeah. It's good to get the basics right. Yeah. Please turn to 1 John 4, verse 7. Beloved, let us... Wait, I just want to pray. Father, let these words not wash over us like water on a duck's back. Father, I want to pray for your word to just penetrate us, for your word just to change us, to... And we just choose to absorb it right now, Father. Amen. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is from God, and everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. The one who does not love does not know God, for God is love. And by this, the love of God was manifested in us, that God has sent his only and begotten Son into the world so that we might live through him. In this is love. Not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be a propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought to love one another. No one has seen God at any time, but if we love one another, God abides in us and his love is perfected in us. By this we know that we abide in him and that he in us, because he has given us of his Spirit. We have seen and testify that the Father sent his Son to be the Savior of the world. Whoever confesses that Jesus is the Son of God and abides in him, so whoever is intimate with him, and he is in God. Now we have come to know and have believed the love of God which he has for us. God is love, and the one who abides in love abides in God, and God abides in him. By this, love is perfected with us, so that we may have confidence in the day of judgment, because as he is, so also we are in this world. There is no fear in love, because perfect love casts out all fear. Because fear involves punishment, and the one who fears is not perfected in love. We love because he first loved us. And if someone says, I love God, and hates his brother, he's a liar. For the one who does not love his brother whom he has seen cannot love God whom he has not seen. And this is the commandment that we have from him, that the one who loves God should love his brother also. Thank you for your word, Lord. It's a good word. That's just awesome, isn't it? That's like so cool. You know, we all know that we're wired for love. We all know that God is love, and we're created from love, and we're for love. The whole of our society is obsessed with love. You know, every other song is about love. Everyone, when they're, you know, young, desires to grow up and be, you know, married with kids and stuff like that. But the reality is there's so much dysfunctionality out there. You know, 50% of UK marriages end in divorce and stuff like that. It's like we have this thing about love, but yet we don't really seem to get how to actually do love. And when we look at Jesus, and when we look at God, he shows us what love looks like. Love is hanging on a tree. Love looks like Jesus. So none of us can say, oh yeah, God loves him, but he doesn't love me. Because on the cross, Jesus, he cut a covenant with mankind. Basically, a covenant is what happens in marriage, but apart from that, we don't really have many covenants nowadays. It's a lifelong promise. And what God did on the cross was he did the same as what happens in a marriage, which he said, I am committed to humanity, to love humanity, every single individual. I'm committed to love my bride unconditionally, even though she's flawed, even though she's ever-changing, for the rest of time. And that's what you do in marriage. When we get married, it's a prophetic picture of God's love for the church. We say, I'm committing to love you, you flawed, ever-changing being. I'm going to love you unconditionally till death do us part. And so God loves every single one of us. And Jesus shows us what it's like to love. He says, hey, I'm going to wash your feet. Hey, I'm going to give dignity to you, undignified woman who's about to be stoned because she was caught in adultery. And he just models something, which is just the most beautiful thing. And so I just wanted to whack that in at the beginning. That's a good word. Thank you. I need your encouragement. All right, what I'm going to do now is basically I'd like to list just some of the reasons why God's love is amazing and practically how we can be affected by God's love and actually live it out in the reality of it. Now, we've had this kind of nice philosophical, theological thing. How does like the rubber hit the road? So the first is rooting your identity in the love of our Father God is the most freeing and stable thing ever. Everybody in this planet seems to be on a journey for success. Everyone wants to be successful. And loads of people are kind of tormented by the fact that it's like, wow, I need to be a success. And so the way we judge success is by big. So I'm successful if I have a big car, a big job, a big responsibility, maybe a big family. You know, I've got a big church, a big ministry. I've led loads of people to Christ. That kind of is the measure of success in our society. But Jesus, I want to just suggest that, like, not Jesus, like, we are a success when we love God. At the foundation of our being, no matter like what the rest of No matter how the rest of life pans out, we are a success because we are part of the group of people on the planet who love God back. And Jesus said, the greatest commandment is to love me. When asked, what's the greatest commandment? He goes, the greatest commandment is to love me with everything you have and love your neighbor as yourself. And so when we are a people who love God, it means that no matter if our ministry, if our job, if whatever's going on is successful or not, we can kind of stay anchored that on the deepest part of us, we're a success. Because we got it. We loved him back. We were created to love him, and we did it. That's amazing. I love you, Jesus. So, that's the first thing. The second thing why just living in the love of God is because it's a lot less tiring. Behaviorally, I mean, a lot of us have kind of gone through the Clemex teaching, which is above the line and below the line behaviors. And basically, what they say is above the line behaviors come from a place of security in love, which is kind of roots back to love, and below the line behaviors come from fear. As we read in the first passage, perfect love casts out all fear. So behaviors, when you're rooted in the love of God and you know that you're successful, it means you can be just genuinely encouraging to other people. It means that you can be gentle and kind, and you can be patient, and you can be really friendly, and you can be developing of others and compassionate and really genuinely happy when other people succeed. And it not come from this place of, oh, I'm trying to do it. It just comes. When you don't have that kind of love of God abiding in you, you operate on a more kind of below the line level, which is a lot more competitive. It's a lot more kind of self-promoting. It's easily offended. It's a lot of avoidance, and it's a lot of controlling. And those kind of behaviors are just actually really wearing. It's really tiring living like that. So that's reason number two. Reason number three is that people, when we live a life in the love, rooted in the love of God, people notice a difference. My downstairs neighbour is a crazy guy. He's in a wheelchair, and the first time we met him, he had a black eye. And a few months later, he had another black eye. And we had Nick Trantum, who some of you will know, is our housemate. And when Nick moved in earlier in the year, he didn't realise, you know, kind of Dave's mobility issues and parked in a way that where he couldn't get his kind of scooter into the garage. So Dave knocks on the door and threatens Nick. He calls him an effing bee and says, I'm going to call the police. And all Nick was said, you know, was thinking, all right, mate, I can just move my car. And so that's kind of like the character he is. He's absolutely, you know, hilarious. And he's just crazy. So we've had some ups and downs with Dave, but I've kind of made sure that right from the very beginning, I've always tried to behave in as loving a way as possible. That's what I always just try and do. I just try and live my life by it. You know, Jesus says to love is the greatest thing. So, okay, what is love? You then got a tick box for your life from 1 Corinthians 13. Love is patient. Love is kind. Love does not rejoice whenever blah, 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 blah. Does not brag, it's not arrogant, it's not rude, it's not, you know, all those kind of things. And so I've instantly got the Holy Spirit saying to me, you know, love is patient. So, okay, I'm going to be patient with him, Lord. You know, be kind to him, you know, and I've just got this kind of checklist of love. And so we've loved him now consistently for 2.5 years when we've lived in our house. And he's now started asking me, can I come to church? It's really, really cool. And I'm genuinely kind of surprised about it. He said to me the last 2 weeks on the trot, and I was preaching the journey last week, and I was preaching here. I said, I'm not going this week. And he said, okay, that's cool. But he asked me again 2 days ago, Dave, can I come to church with you this Sunday? I said, I'm not going this week. He's like, oh, and I said, you can go with Chloe and Nick. He's like, no. We want to go together. And I was like, okay, that's cool. It's amazing. And all I've done is love and just try and be nice. And people notice a difference. There's a guy called Mike who's on the big year. And he's a youth worker from Essex Way, so he travels 2 hours, you know, every day or once a week to get to the big year. And he's got the most crazy testimony. For those of you who heard a bit of Carl Wilder's testimony at the Marlow Weekend Away, just absolutely bonkers. This guy, Mike, you know, was a proper hardcore raver, you know, out every Friday night doing every drug under the sun. He had family involved in witchcraft. You know, he had visitations from demons, you know, really crazy stuff. And there was this girl who's a friend from a little Anglican church who led him to the Lord. And he said, when he was telling his testimony at the big year, basically, she just loved me. And I'd never seen anything like that. Every time she met me, she just loved me unconditionally. And it went in. And that's what brought him to the Lord. So love wins. Can't go wrong. Where's my little thing? Okay. Let's give it up for Titchmarsh. All right. So I'm getting into gardening at the moment. I'm getting old. I saw one of my Chloe and I were going into town yesterday, and we saw one of our friends. And I said, "So what are you doing?" I went, "Going to the library." And they went, "What for?" I went, "I'm getting a gardening book." They went, "What for?" I was like, "Well, I want to know how to do some stuff in my garden." My garden isn't actually that great, but anyway, I'm getting an interest. And I was looking at one of my plants the other day, and in the summer, it was like really, you know, flourishing. And then kind of in the autumn, we kind of got into, oh, it's raining all the time mode, and so didn't water it at all. But actually, it hasn't been raining all the time. It's rained now and again. And so now, it's an absolute state. Yeah, I know. Boo-hoo. So, we water, you know, you give it a bit of water, you give it a bit of feed, and it comes back to life. And God said to me, like, "You're so thick." And my people are so thick. You're like plants. And you know this on a natural level that, you know, every single day we need sleep, we need food, we need water. And if we don't have these things, we wither and we're just absolutely knackered. And then, you know, we have those things and we feel much better. He says, it's exactly the same on a spiritual level. It's not rocket science. And so, you know, we hang out with God, you know, we spend time in prayer, reading our Bibles, in worship, or we come to church and we encounter the Lord and, you know, feel his presence, feel his peace, just engage with that, and it's all great. And then we just don't hang out with him for like 4 days or whatever, and we go back to normal mode, and we wonder why we're just kind of operating on empty. It's like, ugh. It's because inside, you're a withered little plant. It talks a lot in this like passage that we read about abiding. And like God's all about relationship. And relationship's all about intimacy. And intimacy is all about time. Like the person who I'm closest to is Chloe, and I spend the most time with her. And I just want to just encourage us all. Let's just find ways just to tick the clock with God. Just to put the hours in, you know, so that whenever like we snuff it, we look him in the eyes. Sorry. But when at the end of my life, I want to look at God and he'd be like, "Oh, hey, my friend." And not to be this huge transition because we're already mates, because we already spent time together. And that's different for every single one of us who are at different stages in our lives. You know, when you've got kids and you've got the crazy routines, or if you've got more time, you know, it works different for every single one of us. Let's just find ways to be intimate with God. You know, over the last couple of weeks, I felt challenged with the Lord to spend more time with him. And it's always one of the things, I need to spend more time with the Lord. But I felt like a real encounter with the Lord. And the Lord said, if you need to up your game, you need to up your hourage, basically. And so I've been disciplining myself to spend more time with the Lord. And I've noticed a difference. I've noticed a massive difference. You know, if I'm just chatting to someone, I'm a lot quicker now to go, "Oh, hey, can I pray for you?" Or I'm a lot quicker to just to kind of hear that voice of God. Like, "Oh, this is what I feel like the Lord's saying for you." It really, really does make a difference. Simple word. So, if we want to be big and strong, we need to eat and drink. We need to drink his spirit and we need to eat his word. The next way that I just think we just choose to live in love is something that Carl Wills said when he was over, which really, really struck me. And I think about it a lot. And what he said, you know, we know Satan as the one who steals, kills, and destroys. But in Revelation, he's known as the accuser of the brethren. And that word accuse means to categorize. And we readily do that so easily. We point the finger and we say, that person is like that. Or, they have done this. And, you know, God doesn't do that. God doesn't put us in any boxes. And I just want to let's all do away with the pointing finger, because we never know, like, all the facts of what's gone on with someone. That person's a bad man. Well, how do you know? Like, how do you know what's happened to him? You know? And so let's just, like, not judge. It's kind of simple, really. But, because Jesus is the only judge. The next thing I want to say, I'm coming into land now, is that if we were to live a life of love, I think we just need to believe it. We just need to believe that God loves us and that he wants to use us and that we're his kids, and just believe that we are who he says we are. And just to kind of, like, to not let anything rule you out. You know, I wrote a little list here. If you've got a criminal record, Pete. If you've got a criminal record, you know, look at David. Look at Moses. Don't let it rule you out. You know, if you've got, like, problems with your sexuality and stuff going on there, look at Rahab. She's a prostitute and she helps Joshua and she becomes the great-great-grandmother of Jesus. If you're worried that you're too ugly, I'm not looking anywhere. Just get the mirror out. Then Abraham Lincoln, I heard this story the other day, Abraham Lincoln was apparently a really ugly guy. And when he was on his campaign, a little girl said, "Mr. Lincoln, you're so ugly, you should grow a beard." And that's what he did. And yet he became one of the most amazing presidents in US history. I don't really know much about it, but that's pretty much it. I'm not going to risk anything else. Something to do with slavery. If you struggle with depression, look at Winston Churchill. You know, everyone who's like does kind of public speaking and is like, you know, loves to do inspirational speeches, they often quote Churchill because he's got so many great quotes. He used to have something which he called his black dog, which was basically, you know, historians would call depression. And he would sometimes be in bed for 30 days at a time with the dog. You know? Like, even operating under that, it was still like just like phenomenal. If you're worried that you're a bit too thick, look at Samson. Samson was a really, really thick guy because he let his girlfriend tie him up 3 times and then still told her a secret that he shouldn't have told her. That's stupid. And, you know, Jesus, like, fed the 5,000 with loaves and fish. And do you know why he used loaves and fish? Because a little boy offered him loaves and fish. That's why he didn't do rice and beans, because someone didn't offer him rice and beans. It's because the kid offered him just what he had. And I just want to say, like, God loves to use what we have, and so often we let, like, what we don't have just get in the way. And so let's just choose to believe that God says that we're amazing, and just go, God, you know what? I may not be this, I may not be this, but I can do this. I just give it to you. And just see what he does. Let him be God. The last thing I'd like to say is we need just to, if we want to be people who love, I think we need to pray for the anointing. Mike Bickle calls it the anointing to love. He said, David, man after God's heart, obviously not like a girly man because he's a man who spilled loads of blood. He said he was anointed with the anointing to love. You know, he knew that he was God's beloved. He said it in his Psalms, "I'm my beloved. I am God's beloved." And, you know, that's something that I've been praying for, like, over the last few years. It just sometimes pops up in my prayer life. I go, God, just ignite me with a passion for you. I want to be a lover of you. I want to just be one of those burning ones whose heart is set apart, set on fire for you. Just stir within me, because, like we've read, we love because he first loved us. And so it's something that he has to do in us. And so if you're somebody who's sitting there thinking, yeah, God loves me, but I don't really, like, operate on that level, just encountering and then just giving back, you know, love to the Father. That's something that I don't really relate to. I want to say, contend for it in prayer. Go, God, I want this. You know, Jesus says, keep knocking and the door will be opened. So, that's that. Now, have a little video. And I spent quite a while searching for it on YouTube this morning. And we had a few different prototypes. And I'm not actually sure which one this is. We're going to go for it. And I just want to say, this is just a fantastic picture of God's love for us, which we need to let him just encounter us with. You know, we go through life just trying to do stuff by ourselves, and we just need to let him love us. Lights will guide
you home. Father, I just want to thank you that you love us with a furious love. Thank you that you have fire in your eyes for us. And I thank you that you went for the cross for us. And Father, I just ask that you just melt us, that we be people who love you back. A people who know how to lean on you, people who know how to receive your love and just walk with you. Instead of trying to stupidly just do it on our own. Thank you that you love us. Just help us to love.